I'm ABC's Ginger Z. In this special episode of Inside Frozen 2,
the stakes of the song are sort of this call that is dangerous.
To me, the main strength of Frozen 2 is that it is about change, people going through a time of change.
Our girls, it's been neat to watch the artists blossom. And
can you tell we're incredibly proud?
We are back with Kristen Anderson Lopez and Bobby Lopez, the Frozen 2 songwriting team, for a look at the impact of the music and the soundtrack of Frozen 2.
Into the end.
Great to see you and hear from you again, Bobby, Kristen. It's been, what, since the Oscars?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Did we get to see you at the Oscars? The Oscars were such a blur.
I was on the side there, and I was so happy to see you walking that carpet, getting the accolades that you so well deserve with the nomination, and then so much since. But really, the journey since October, when I first spoke with you in the first podcast, I hadn't even seen the movie. And we were talking about the song, so I have a lot to ask. Let's just start with, how have the last 10 months been for you guys? You all right?
You know, they've been terrifying and exhilarating. I mean, we've gone from having some of the best family moments, maybe of our lives with our children, while also being absolutely heartbroken for what's happening to the arts and for all of the loss, not to mention
terrifying.
Yeah,
you know, washing our oranges with Clorox in the beginning in New York when we were all like, you know, Lysol wiping.
Do you wipe down each individual grape? That was where we were.
Right,
that was where we.
Do you know what
the
I was
line.
Doing? I soaked them in wine. Because I wasn't finishing because I had to stop myself.
That is brilliant.
You didn't finish your wine? Because for us, the wine was more valuable than the...
I'm going to go soak my grapes in wine right now, right after this.
I can't start this podcast without saying thank you for writing the soundtrack of 2020 unknowingly.
I mean, that's
just a real quick question. Do you want to join my forecasting team? Because apparently you guys know exactly what's going to happen,
you know, that's,
in the near future.
That's Jennifer Lee. I she knew.
Maybe it's because things weren't so great even last year. And
yeah.
And what they keep saying is that the pandemic has accelerated bad things that were happening anyway. So I guess maybe that might have something to do with it. And Jen, I think, was just trying to make Frozen relevant to the world we were living in.
Just Into the Unknown alone, knowing what that could mean to people and what it has meant to people, it has to have brought the gravity of the words and the music that you wrote to another level.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously there was some feedback on social media around the call and the idea of this unknown call pulling us forward. You know, in the case of the pandemic, it's less of a personal call.
And more of a drag.
Yes. it's more of this, and it is the Dies Irae. You know, it is this actually is known through musical. Actually, Bobby, you do this part.
No, the Dies Irae. Yeah, it's that's the call that calls out to Elsa, the voice that's calling out to her. The musical reference is this theme that is based on a church theme that signifies death, that composers have used throughout time to talk about that stuff.
So the stakes of the song are sort of this call that is dangerous and forces Elsa out of the castle, forces Elsa to take action and that causes everybody to have this danger in their lives. So I think that does resonate with the current situation of everybody kind of being lost in the woods, having to find their way forward. In terms of the personal impact, you know, we've had lots of friends send us videos of their kids going, ah. Though I think the younger kids really respond to Some Things Never Change, which is the first song.
Yes, the wind blows a little
little bit colder.
Because I think that, you know, we have a friend who's got a 3-year-old and she just wants to hear something's never changed every single night in the bathtub because it has this this reassuring sense of like, I'm holding on tight to you. I'm not letting you go. Which I think our kids need right now.
I mean, I think...
And some things, despite everything changing, some things really don't change.
Yeah, our love doesn't change. Our care for one another doesn't change. And even though... I mean, I think that the main... To me, the main strength of Frozen 2 is that it is about change. People going through a time of change. Time of terrifying change. And that mirrors the situation we're in right now. I mean, we're all terrified. The pandemic... All of the climate stuff that's happening, it's all just terrifying. And I think, you know, Frozen 2 is not about that, those issues, but I think that the themes that they touch are applicable to a society that is going through maybe the most change that society has gone through in 100 years.
And so our main characters, like all of them, are dealing with this unknown in their own way. So like Olaf has this mantra that he does called, "This will all make sense when I'm older."
This will all make sense when I am older.
Which a lot of people also reached out to us at the beginning of the pandemic and said like, "What? How did you know this? How did you know?"
Yeah, I'm fine, everything's fine.
This is fine.
I feel like there's been a lot of sort of saying, okay, in 3 weeks, Fauci is going to tell us that we don't have to Clorox our oranges anymore.
Right.
That there's been this sense of like, okay, there, if I just sit tight, in 3 weeks, there'll be more information. So that's the, this will all make sense when I'm older piece.
But I think on another level, there's a part of us, there's a part of me and Kristen that wanted a big change, that wanted to destroy our lives, but change everything.
Let's not ask for that.
But just everything that was routine about and starting to feel like the same every day. Like, oh, we always go to our office. We always get on the phone to Disney. We always write a song for Frozen. It was a part of us that was like, what if life was completely different? And I think when one of the results of everything, you know, these huge shifts in society is that you do get to, you know, you have a crisis. It's an opportunity to restructure the way your life is.
So there are those people, you know, turning to do the next right thing. You know, I have had friends reach out to me who lost their parents to COVID. And say your song "Do the Next Right Thing" I've had on a loop for 3 weeks now, and that's getting me through. You know, I think it's not our idea. We got it from several different sources, and I love self-help books, so you know, I heard it through Brené Brown and Glennon Doyle and several other you know, thinkers on the subject, that when you just don't know what to do, you really have to just find a way to do the next right thing. And I think there are a lot of people who have had a lot of tragedy, whether it's losing a job or losing a parent, that song has spoken to. And I, you know, the last line of that, and in the dawn, what comes then when it's clear that everything will never be the same again, then I'll make the choice to hear that voice and do the next right thing. Like, there is that dawn that's coming, but everything is never going to be the same again. And maybe we all kind of have learned different lessons that we can take.
Yes. And I remember speaking about grief and what that song was written for, or at least inspired by. And I think that song, and then you look, even when we saw the Disney Plus docuseries where we got to see a bit more of the process of getting to show yourself, that was not something that came super easy. You were just trying to do the next right thing.
Yeah.
But even that one, once you are doing the next right thing and doing your best with the next day after something like this, it is about finding yourself.
It is. There, you know, I was talking to my 15-year-old yesterday about the strength that she has found. You know, I think there's been a lot of assessment of ourselves and like what we were doing wrong and how, you know, as a society and even personally, all of the ways that we can improve ourselves during this time. But then underneath that is this incredible strength. You know, we do show ourselves in these times of adversity the strength that we didn't think we had. And in my 15-year-old's case, you know, the strength to do all of this virtual learning and find a way to keep her friendships and find a way to keep herself from getting, you know, completely turned into a TikTok robot. The strength to say, okay, I'm going to fill this time with something meaningful.
It was nice because the process of writing Show Yourself felt like a curse. It felt like somehow we had been cursed, that this song just could never, ever get finished. It could never work. And there was even one moment where we were recording it, and we actually had Adina come over to our office to sing some of it just to try it out on her voice and have her sort of practice it. And I remember I bounced down the session, which is, you know, when you take the session and make one MP3. And it came out with all these weird echoes, like a demon. it was the file had gotten corrupted in some way. I'm just remembering this, and
I've blocked this all out.
Then there was one moment where
tell me what happened.
There was a piano that we had to get. There was one part that was so hard to play that we had to get a mechanical piano that could play itself to play it. And we ordered this piano to the session, and we kept trying to make it play, and it wouldn't play. And finally, at the end of a whole day of trying to get this darn thing to work, we realized it wasn't even a piano that could play itself at all. Like it couldn't do it. We were trying to get a non-player piano to play itself.
That's what writing Show Yourself felt like.
Yeah. And that's the thing is each word, each phrase, like, yes, applicable to a divided world before, but truly, even to show yourself, I mean, to find yourself within this time. I've been working with a therapist every week, very committed to that, so that I can do that. And so many other people could probably say the same. I imagine you've had stories of people saying that your music in this film has been therapeutic.
We have. It's been really nice how generous people have been about the relevance. You know, I was just looking back at some of the Facebook messages I've gotten, and one of the moms reached out recently, like 5 weeks ago, saying, "My girls have been dancing and singing to Show Yourself in their living room for 8 months straight, all day long," and how even now. She's like, "I'm so glad that our girls get this message that it's about showing yourself. It's not about proving yourself to other people. It's not about meeting expectations. It's about figuring out where you belong and showing yourself." So I'm glad that message came across.
I think the one of the biggest things is when Disney released Frozen 2 early on Disney Plus for people. It came as a real help to them in their home. I think the pandemic has hit parents of young children the hardest, or, you know, certainly has hit them very hard. And it was really meaningful to us to know that Frozen 2 was part of what was helping them cope. And that's a lot of social media, I think, has been about that. Thank you for writing these songs that have helped us through this pandemic.
I liked the meme that was going around in March, that was like homeschooling schedule: Monday morning, Frozen 1, lunch. Monday afternoon, Frozen 2. Tuesday, Frozen 1, Frozen 2 marathon. And then by Friday, it's just Frozen 1, Frozen 2, Frozen 1, Frozen 2.
Hey, Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
So if you had a favorite, maybe anecdote or story that you've seen on social, what would it be?
There's been like a whole bunch of them that are people in a big store or people on the streets late at night doing the voice, the call, the ah, and then someone unseen from far away answers it back with ah, which to me that's pretty cool to know that you could go to, you know, some random spot in America and just sing that and someone will answer you back, kind of like the West Side Story whistle thing. People can actually do it in real life now.
I liked that on TikTok, and again, we only learn about this through our 15-year-old, but on TikTok, there was this whole thing that went viral, like a whole conversation they were having around, I can hear you, but I won't. And just that particular line, I think, really spoke to the teens on TikTok.
When you think about people's weddings, their graduations, every single thing was changed. Did you see a lot of that where they were like, you know what, this is why we used Frozen 2?
You know, I maybe we were so caught up in parenting ourselves at that moment, that sort of May, June time is really when the pandemic exhaustion hit home for us. And we were, you know, we had cooked every single meal. We were dealing with shopping. I think that we kind of missed the phenomenon of Frozen being used for those milestones. Yeah. Because...
Oh, I would like to see some of that.
Yes. Because at the time we were just exhausted and trying to figure out, how do we make this more efficient every single meal?
You said it really well, the exhaustion point, because at the beginning it's like, well, we adopted dogs and then everybody baked a lot of banana bread and all the cliche things, or the things that were kind of charming, became cliche. I've worn these slippers every day for 9 months. Like, what's your one or two things that you're still holding on to? Yeah.
Well, I've got a new hobby. We moved into a house we had actually been planning on buying before the pandemic, and luckily,
and
we did buy and
a month before.
The place has a pizza oven, a wood fired pizza oven indoors. So I've been making a lot of pizza, and recently after Thanksgiving, we took the leftovers and made a pizza out of that. And it was one of the most, I think it's the thing I'm the most proud of next to Frozen 2.
You take the gravy.
Everybody needs it. Bobby's Thanksgiving pizza.
It is not low fat, Ginger. Yeah, it is delicious.
Did you include cranberry?
You put it on it after it comes out of the 650 degree pizza oven.
Yeah, you don't want it to just burn to a crisp.
The gravy is the sauce, then various forms of stuffing, mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes are the cheese, and then you put the turkey on top sort of as the pepperoni, and then you put it in the oven for 2 minutes at 650 or above, and you pull it out, and then you cut up little pieces of that gelled cranberry into little triangles and sprinkle it on top. It's delicious.
I'm inspired. And I think people have asked my husband and I this, we've done podcasts, but I do think it's interesting. Has this uncovered anything in your relationship? Because you guys are songwriters together, you're, you know, not just work, but live, family, everything together. What has been, you know, the greatest rose and the greatest thorn in this for the two of you?
You know, it's not that different than our daily life was before.
Yeah.
We woke up, you know, parented together, worked together, then went to, you know, had our life of going to theater together. I think the big difference is that we've lost the ability to go out and celebrate theater, and all of our artist friends, you know, are all kind of waiting for the vaccine, for it to rebirth.
Oh, that's been devastating, the loss of the theater.
Yeah, and I think that's hard for people to comprehend, right? I mean, much of your life and your inspiration has all been in these venues and these spaces that aren't allowed to be right now. And I think the void of that is something that gets missed in the overall, granted, it, you know, should definitely come under losing loved ones and all of the top priorities. But when you take away a year or two of Broadway, what does that mean?
Well, right now what it means is we're working really hard to get, you know, arts workers specific aid, because this whole sector, which is a huge, huge driver of our economy, and there's a wonderful place that you can find the statistics around how much it gives to our economy and stimulates the economy. If we can get that stimulated and supported, it'll really help the whole economy come back. So we're working with organizations to help that happen. So art specific aid is a big, near and dear to our heart. And then, you know, pulling it to the personal, one of the ways that we've really gotten through this is creating music and art just with our family. So we created the Lopez Family Singers. Our girls, like, it's been some of our most special times singing around the piano. We've created sort of an a cappella group with them. And it's been really great watching them blossom. They're great musicians. They've got great ears.
They're at the age where they should be sort of going out and testing their independence, but we drew them in. Thanks to this pandemic, they are now in our a cappella group.
Now they're good sopranos. You know, I sort of hold it down in the alto, and Bobby's got to be both bass and tenor. But that's been really fun. One of the other things is that our 11-year-old found a passion for photography. Without friends, you know, without the ability to be near anybody, she discovered her camera and her cats, and has been taking these incredible photos of her cats, sort of, you know, inspired by William Wegman. We found a book on William Wegman, who does those Weimaraners.
She's got a great eye. I mean, I don't know anything about photography, but people that do have been commenting on the photos we've posted on social media, and I think she's a budding young photographer.
And then our eldest started writing original songs, and one of the best moments was watching Bobby act as sort of engineer, co-producer with her, and orchestrating that song.
That was cool.
It was very cool how you know, he was basically helping bring out, you know, her inner Taylor Swift, to think beyond the song that she writes on the ukulele in her bedroom, but also start imagining, like, oh, this would be this counter melody, and oh, we can use this cool filter on the Logic. So it was neat. It's been neat to watch, with all this free time, the artists blossom and to support that.
Can you tell we're incredibly proud?
Yeah. Well, I love hearing it, because with two young boys, all I think about is, you know, of course every parent is proud of what they do, but in this moment, there are a couple of different ways that kids could go, and it sounds like yours have thrived. One thing I was thinking about while you were saying that, I'm reading the Elton John book right now, and it very much like your story, I'm reading about Elton John, and you two came up in my head, because he talks about how he serendipitously met Bernie, his songwriter, and how he can't even remember exactly how it happened, and that an envelope just ends up in his hand in what should have been a very disappointing meeting. And it made me think about the two of you, not that you came from an envelope to each other, but how...
Oh, I wrote to a catalog to get Kristen.
Yes, I was $9.99.
But the point of those stories, I guess, is I love that tomorrow can be a totally different day and can change your life forever. And I would assume that you both, with the experiences that you've had in meeting each other, in serendipitously finding Frozen and now Frozen 2, what hope could you give somebody when we're still not done with this pandemic?
What hope? Well, the biggest hope, I find hope is important with action as well. So one of the things that I think is something that we all need to think about, and including our daughters, we talk about this every single day, is staying present to the moment. So, you know, we're out in the woods of Connecticut right now, and I learned about forest bathing, which is a Japanese art of sort of going into the woods and using your senses in the woods to just take in absolutely everything in the present moment. And in doing that, it actually sends, it does some kind of magic where cells are renewed. You know, it's better than a collagen face mask. It's better than a shot of vitamin D. It's actually a really restorative thing to the human spirit. And I think that we've been working really hard to try and stay present, not in our phones all day long, not on TikTok all day long. You know, not, yes, we binge watch, but we're trying to find those moments that we are in real time, in real life, and learning to use our senses like we used to as animals. That to me.
And so it's kind of like an active meditation, I assume.
Yeah, I think that's where our hope is going to come from, enjoying this present moment of quiet and stillness right now, and being grateful for this gift that we do have right now, while also working toward taking care of each other in this moment. What would you say, Bobby?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's given us this opportunity to be together as a family, and I'm sure that a lot of other families have had that same experience, that before the pandemic, there's a certain part of you that wishes you had nothing but time with your kids, with each other, and soon this will go away. We will have a vaccine. Things will go back more towards normal, and we'll have less time with each other. So I'm trying to enjoy the time while we have it, knowing that there's a downside and an upside to everything.
So what song do you write now? I mean, what can you forecast for us in the future? What's the title?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about rebirth, and thinking about, it's going to be interesting because I think just at the time that everyone is getting vaccinated, it's going to be the moments that the crocuses are popping out of the ground, and you know, the trees are starting to bud, and there is this moment that we will all reemerge from this long winter changed, and I think there have been some very, very hard conversations we as a society have had, and we've had the space to have them during this long winter. So I think that there's a whole like new spring coming.
That's good. New spring coming.
New spring coming. There we go.
Yeah. New spring coming.
She always gets the
title track of Frozen 3. Possible. It wouldn't be my job if I didn't push it.
What'd you say there? didn't come through.
I just feel like there's a lot more we could learn. Anna could do a lot. I don't know. We're pretty open-ended on my, you know, from my perspective.
We're open to it, but we haven't heard anything about it. I don't think that there's any plans for it, and we're happy to wait till there are some.
I think Disney Animation has some really exciting films coming to you in the next couple years, and they will all be fresh and wonderful. And if they decide to do a Frozen 3, we'll definitely be excited to see what Anna and Elsa have left to say. Olaf, Kristoff, Matthias.
The whole team. So Rebirth in the spring, and then maybe Bath in the Woods is like the second track. We'll finish this up and like,
yes,
yeah, Bath in the Woods.
Forest bathing. Don't get ticks.
Okay. I'm so grateful for both of you. It was so nice to have this little bright light. I will now be going in the woods because I am inspired. So thank you. If you wanted to leave your fans with one last anything, what can you say to them?
I would just say keep singing. The gift of singing and making music, even if it's just you in your shower or you with your family and some Tupperware and spoons, that making music is the way that we remind ourselves of joy, especially right now. This is the joyful musical season.
Totally.
Sing.
I'd also like to let them know that we have some music coming out.
At some point,
we can't really
Bobby
tell them much
the
about
plug.
It, but yeah, we do have some new projects that we've been working on, and we're excited for people to hear it when we're allowed to talk about it. There's one that's with the Disney company that's been announced, but we haven't been announced in conjunction with it. So we're really excited for that one.
And we just closed the deal on another thing with the Disney company, that's going to be much more adult. We're really excited to explore, it's funny that you brought up the moment that we met, because it sort of explores that all of the feelings that you have in that moment where your life changes by meeting one person. So I'm excited for that, which is in development right now with some exciting people, wonderful collaborators.
Well, I'm never worried about you two finding the next gig because I feel like we are all just in constant gratitude for your talents and for your time today. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate both of you, Bobby, Kristen.
Bye, everybody. So long.
Happy holidays.
So many thanks to Kristen Anderson Lopez and Bobby Lopez for their time and, of course, their creative genius that helped bring Frozen 2 to life. And now that I know that they're up in the woods, I gotta go find them. This episode of Inside Frozen 2 is a production of ABC Audio and Walt Disney Animation Studios, produced by Matt Wolf, with additional production by Samantha Winnett. Executive produced by Heidi Ohringer, and special thanks to Amy Astley at Walt Disney Animation Studios, Abe Velez, and Josh Cohen. See Frozen 2 and Frozen on Disney Plus. And check out the Grammy-nominated soundtrack to Frozen 2, now available on Walt Disney Records. I'm Ginger Z. Thanks so much for listening to Inside Frozen 2.